Good morning, Viola. Hallelujah. Well, we're glad to be here with you today, and glad to be here hanging out with your pastor, who's, you know, one of the things that we always need to do is we always need to be grateful to God for good gifts that he has put in our lives. How many of you think you ought to be thankful to the Lord for good gifts? Well, I want you to know something. How many of you are grateful for the good gift of your pastor who is here leading this church? And so we're very excited. We've been together, as he mentioned, in MVP and on Zoom calls on Thursday mornings for a long time and other events and those kind of things. I was actually at an MVP event last Thursday in Cabot, Arkansas. But anyway, so we're very excited to be here with you. I wish that my wife could be here, but there were some situations going on with my son, and he had another heart procedure a few weeks ago, and we didn't want to both be out of the state with him because he can't drive yet, and so because of the he's recovering. But so I wish that she could be here with me today. Because we've been together for a very long time. Our testimony is one of the wild things that we've actually, my wife and I have been sweethearts since the second grade. And so we've been together for a long, long time. And I just always wish, whenever she can't be with me, I always wish that she's here. But anyhow, you know, today is Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is the day that we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem 1 week before his resurrection. And as Jesus entered the holy city, he neared the culmination of a long journey to Golgotha and those kind of things. And it's just a wonderful thing because he set up the thing and he caused us to be able to be saved with what he did by dying on the cross, but then God resurrected him. And so today we are celebrating Palm Sunday. And I want to share with you, you know what? I just want to really encourage you. How many, I don't know if you're a note taker or not with regards to sermons, but I want to encourage you to be a note taker, but not just for sermons. The Lord taught me long time ago, I've been keeping a devotional journal for my personal relationship with him, with my devotional journals, one of the journals, my devotions every day since 1988. And so I've got shelves and shelves and shelves of devotional journals in my office at my house. But I want to encourage you something. You know what? Even scientists who don't even believe in God, they know this one thing right here, and that's this, that when you write something down, it goes into a deeper place in your memory than just what you hear. And so I want to encourage you because I really believe that that God has given me some things to share with you that are going to be very, very helpful in the days that we are living in right now. And so anyway, I want to encourage you to jot some things down, hopefully. And I'm really excited about what I'm sharing this morning, what I'm sharing tonight, and what I'm sharing tomorrow night. And so anyway, this morning, the title of the message is The Anchor of Hope. And so, you know, we all need hope. Everybody needs hope. And I don't know if you know this, that since COVID, there has been a higher percentage of people that are struggling with hopelessness than any other time in our lives. And so, you know, human beings can survive approximately 3 weeks without food, based on various aspects, approximately 3 days without water, approximately 3 minutes without oxygen. But one of the most common threats to our survival is not the absence of food, water, and oxygen. Especially in the days that we're living in right now, one of the most dangerous threats that we face is the absence of hope. And so hopelessness is destroying more lives right now than ever before in our lifetimes. And so recent surveys indicate that the percentage of people in America, and really even around the world, that are struggling with hopelessness is extremely high compared to past decades. And so hopelessness can be caused by high levels of anxiety, stress, worry, depression, those kind of things. And I'm going to share, I'm not going to share details with you this morning about this, but I'm going to do it tomorrow night. Nancy and I, my wife and I, have battled against all kinds of elements of during the our season of storms. Our family, myself, my wife, my son, and my daughter, during the time when I've been pastoring, our family, myself, my wife, my son, and my daughter, have navigated over a dozen life-threatening health issues that multiple times almost killed every one of us. But God brought such miraculous healing. Every storm he brought us to, he brought us through with miraculous healing. And we just sang a song a while ago about singing in the storm. I'm telling you, we were able to sing in the storms. And so I'm not going to tell you the details that will blow your mind about our testimony now, but I am going to do it tomorrow night. And I want to ask you this. How many of you are in a very difficult season of a storm right now? If you want to raise your hand, be honest, okay? Several. How many of you know someone, a loved one or a neighbor or a fellow worker, how many of you know somebody that is in a very terrible crisis right now? Okay? Well, I want to encourage you something. Tomorrow night, I'm going to share the core message of the book, Standing Strong in the Storm. And it is powerful lessons that God taught us that helped us navigate adversity and not only survive, but thrive. And so if you know people that are very, very struggling with crisis, I want to get you, invite them tomorrow night. Invite them to come because they are going to hear principles from God's Word that will help them learn how to navigate adversity, and it's very likely that God will raise them up, and they may become Christians or may become closer to God than they've ever been. And so that's what's going to happen tomorrow night, and I will have the book, some of the books available afterwards tomorrow night. But today we're doing a couple of other messages that God has used to be an incredible blessing to me, and so I want to share it with you. Now, again, the title of the message today is The Anchor of Hope. And if you want to turn with me in your Bible, and I encourage you to do that, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 are going to be the main text of the message this morning. The Lord taught me this a long, long time ago. And so Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 begins this, and this is what it says. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now, we're going to dig in to several things in these verses, but we're not going to worry about Melchizedek today. And so, anyway, I just want you to remember the inner sanctuary he's talking about. Remember in the Bible, you know, the tabernacle and also the temple, there was a place called the Holy of Holies where the presence of God was, and there was a curtain that separated that place from other areas in the temple. And so the high priest once a year would go in that curtain and give offerings to get the Lord to forgive people. But Jesus went through not just that earthly curtain, but the heavenly curtain. And when he went through that, he caused us to be able to be saved. And that's part of what's being delivered here. But there's so many. I'm telling you what, I want to encourage you to. I do a book promo and every time I preach, but it's not for mine. It's for God's. I want you to understand. God's book is packed with treasures of truth that will totally transform your life. So I want to encourage you, if you're just watching, if you're just reading a few things on the surface, I want to encourage you, get passionate and become a student that digs into the Word of God. And when you do that, He will show you things that will transform your life. And so, if you're note takers, here's the first point of the message today. We have hope. We have hope. Specifically, the hope that he's talking about here in this verse is a hope in Christ. because he is our Savior. And also the wonderful of being eternally with the Lord. And hope from that comes into all kinds of other areas. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 says this, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Anybody in here ever dealt with a time of hopelessness? You know what that feels like. And the scripture is true. It can really cause us to be sick in our heart. So we can live with problems, challenges, setbacks, even tragedy, but it's very difficult for us to live without hope. And so the present tense here, he's not saying someday you're going to get hope. He said, we have hope. You have hope available for you right now. And so he did say this. He used an interesting term, and I believe there is a reason that I'm going to share with you why the Holy Spirit, who inspired these words we just read, used the term anchor of hope. So anyway, anybody in here got a boat? Anybody in here got a little bitty anchor? Anybody ever seen a big anchor on a boat? Okay, now, you know what anchors do, but I want to show you some pictures. When I long, long, long time ago, when I first started digging into this scripture, I investigated and tried to find out what is the biggest physical anchor on this planet. And here's the picture. Look, can you see the people standing in front of that anchor? Can you imagine how massive that anchor is? See, people think that that is the most huge anchor on the planet. Now, I want to share something else with you. Next picture is a chain for a massive anchor. And I want you to look at this guy walking around. Do you see how massive every link of that chain is? They're like 3 feet long each. I believe that chain's really heavy. But anyway, you're thinking, why are you doing this? Well, here, I have a dispute here. See, they think that that was the largest anchor in the world and the biggest chain, but it's not. The biggest anchor in the universe is the hope anchor in Jesus Christ. And so I want you to encourage it. That's the hope of Christ is massively larger than that big picture of that physical anchor. And so, second point, if you're taking notes, hope is our anchor. The purpose of an anchor. What is the purpose of an anchor? You know that. The purpose of an anchor in the physical realm is to secure a ship in the sea and to keep it from drifting out of the position that it needs to be in. Without an anchor, wind and waves and storms can cause us to drift out of position in our life and in our godly destiny. So he calls this, hope is the anchor for our soul. With no anchor, a ship could drift, and with no hope in Christ, our life can drift off the course that God has set for us. Third point, you're like, wow, we're already getting to the third point. Well, we're going to spend a lot of time on this one. Number three, our anchor is secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, as the scripture we just read, back to the image of the Holy of Holies in the temple, anchored in the very presence of God. How did our anchor get into position? Verse 20, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. All right, now. Little bitty boat anchor here. It's interesting because I was preaching in New Hampshire last year, and I couldn't take my anchor with me on the flights. But when I got up there, the pastor had the exact same anchor that I have on this. When I've used this, I preached this message up there. And so anyway, let's just think about this for a second. Anchor with a rope. Of course, in huge ships, it's not ropes. It's chains that connect it to the boat. Wow, this is longer than than I thought it was. Hadn't done this in a little bit. Anyway, there is so much treasure in the Word that sometimes we can't see in English. The Greek word, prodromos, is interpreted in English as the word forerunner in the verse we just read. And that is used to describe someone who goes ahead in advance to prepare the way and enable others to get to a destination. That is what that word means in Greek. But it is also often used in ancient Greek, listen, to refer to a small boat that enables a large boat to safely enter a harbor. Let me tell you what this does. You see, back then, when there was either a storm or whether a larger boat was trying to get into a harbor, if the water was a little bit shallow in certain places where it would be dangerous for the boat, here's what they did, and this Greek word describes that. They would take the boat anchor and drop it into a small boat, which we would call probably a pilot boat now, and that little small boat would go through the situation and get into the exact place in the harbor that was exactly where the large boat was supposed to be anchored. And the person who was the forerunner would drop the boat's anchor in the exact position that they were supposed to end up in their destination. And so the interesting thing about it is, how did this happen? Well, what would happen then is that the large boat connected to the anchor that was already where they were supposed to go. How did they get where they were supposed to go without getting in dangerous areas of the water? They would pull themselves with the chain or with the rope. They would pull themselves and get themselves to the exact location where the forerunner had dropped their anchor, and they got in there without going through the dangerous areas of the water that could have caused their boat to sink. And so that was an example of what was done in ancient Greek history. And so, anyway, either in times of storm or in cases where the ship lacked ability to navigate the passage, the anchor would be dropped, and just what I told you. Okay, so dropping the anchor into the position of the ship's final destination, the ship would then do what I just showed you. It would pull itself because it was attached to something that it could pull itself closer to and closer to and closer to and closer to. Now, alone, we do not have the ability to navigate safely through the treacherous waters of life. But our hope in Christ has anchored our soul, not just in a harbor in this world, but we read the scripture that said that Jesus, he's our forerunner. He went through the division between the presence of God and humanity. He went through the curtain, and he dropped the anchor in the presence of God. And so here's the thing. That's why he said in this verse, the Holy Spirit said, the anchor of our hope in Christ. And so our hope in Christ has anchored our soul into the very presence of God, into the position of our final destination. And we must embrace a major necessity to be transformed by our anchor of hope in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand something here. You know, isn't it amazing that Jesus did that in the spiritual realm, and the Holy Spirit used an example of what was done in the physical realm to help us visualize what Jesus has done? You may not have understood that Jesus, when he went into the presence of God, doesn't matter what any human who will ever be born. It doesn't matter. He dropped the anchor of every person who would ever be born in the presence of God. And any time we accept Christ and we have a relationship with Him and we ask Him to live in us and we try to grow closer to Him, then we are connected to an anchor that the forerunner has dropped in our divine eternal destiny. And so I want to encourage you with that, but I also want to remind you of something. In the physical realm, with a huge boat, the anchor is totally useless without the chain. Because if a boat has no connection to the anchor and just drops it, it doesn't do any good for the boat. So here's the spiritual principle that the Holy Spirit wanted us to know when He used this as an example. The connection between the anchor and the boat is what allows the anchor to perform its function. And there's another slide coming up. The power is in connection. What does that mean? I mean connection to God and connection to His people, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, let's go back and look over this again. Hope, Jesus took it, but the Holy Spirit showed us. Hope, the anchor of hope, the anchor of hope in Christ. Now, if we are being disconnected from hope, would be the same as being disconnected from an anchor. Our hope is in Christ. And I want to encourage you. If your connection, which means your relationship, if your relationship with God and with the people of God in your family of believers is not consistent and not secure, you are allowing yourself to be vulnerable to the attacks of Satan that he is designing to try to destroy your life. So decide in this moment, right now, that you always, 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 every day, every moment, every minute, every second, need to understand that you need to have a secure connection with the hope in Christ. You need to, this is not just something that we can do when we come to church on Sunday mornings. We need to live for the Lord every day, all day, and we need to make sure that we are very healthy, very securely connected to our relationship with Christ, our hope in Him, and also our relationship with God, because when we are connected with the anchor of hope securely, then even if you think you're going through dangerous storms and waters, you can still pull yourself closer and closer and closer and closer to the one that you have hope in God and Christ, and closer and closer, and He can actually get you not only eternally, but He can get you to the exact destiny that God wants you to be in this world. I'm not talking about just geography. I'm talking about spiritual destiny, about the relationship. The Lord showed me a long time ago. You know, when we read about the promised land in the scriptures in the Old Testament, we think it's only geography. But no, it wasn't just geography. It was a spiritual place that God was giving. And I believe that God has a promised land for every one of you. He has a promised land for every one of us. And what that means is not just geography. It means that He's got a level and a place in the relationship with you that He wants you to grow to. And when you get there, you are going to be amazed at what God will do in your life and what He can bring you through, even if you're going through storms in life, which my family has been through a lot. And so, anyway, I just want to encourage you. You know what? It doesn't take a genius to understand that we are living in the last days. Because the Bible said, when the Bible actually called the last days said they started when Jesus ascended back to heaven after his resurrection. And so we've been technically in the last days chapter of history for over 2,000 years. But it doesn't take a whole lot of genius to be able to look around and see what's going on in the world, look around and see what's happening in Israel, and look around and see how many prophecies are being done in the Bible. We are getting to the ladder, to the ladder, to the ladder, to the ladder. And so we need to always make sure that we are very heavily connected to our hope in Christ, and that we are getting closer and closer and closer to him, and that we also are helping other people by witnessing to them and sharing our testimony with them, because everyone needs to be prepared for the rapture. Prepared for the rapture, because Jesus could come back any second now. And so I want to encourage you, be ready. Be ready, because you do not want to be in this world after the rapture. That's going to be the worst time of tribulation in the history of humanity. And so we want to be with Jesus and not on the planet during the Great Tribulation. So I want to encourage you, stay connected and pull yourself closer and closer every day of your life if you can, saying yes. So what does that mean? Decide in this moment that you're going to be secure in your connection in the anchor of hope. That means saying yes to Jesus. Except now, if you're here this morning and you're not maybe a member of the church, maybe you're a guest, maybe you're a visitor, if you're not a Christian, the first thing you need to do to be able to get connected to an anchor of hope that will save your soul and save your life is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, and pray and ask him and invite him. But also, for many times for Christians, you know, we need to rededicate our lives to the Lord. And one of the things we need to understand is that the Lord gives us an opportunity for a fresh start any day. Any day we have the opportunity to ask for a fresh start. It doesn't mean that you're not saved if you need a fresh start. It may be just need that you need to focus a little more on him and grow more. And so also confession and repentance, making our relationship with God the top priority of our entire life. The Bible states that the era of the last days, again, I just said this, began when Jesus ascended back into heaven. But it's obvious we're getting closer. We're getting closer. We're getting closer. And so God wants you. He wants you. He wants you to be as close to him as you've ever been. And that means that rather than just, not just, it's a wonderful thing to be faithful in coming to church. But think about this. If you only eat one physical meal a week, how many of you think you'd be healthy? You need to eat pretty much every day. We also need to understand this. It's great and wonderful to be together on Sundays and in services with the church, but we also need to be eating from the Word every single day. We need to be worshiping the Lord every single day. We need to focus on Him every single day. And when we do that, life totally changes and gets so much better and so amazing. And so I want to encourage you. And then when we have that revival in our own hearts, in our own lives, but also reaching out to those around us, because we don't want them to not be prepared when Jesus comes back to rapture the church either. We want them. We want all the people. And I know that you guys have a lot of different outreach ministries and things around here, and that's wonderful. But you can also do it personally. When the Lord takes you wherever you are, look for somebody. Ask the Lord, Lord, who needs to hear about Jesus? But I just want you to be excited and to be understanding that your anchor is in your eternal destiny. Don't you ever, 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 ever let the enemy cause you to become disconnected from your hope in Christ. Always, always stay connected, focused, in a priority that's top in our lives. And so I thought it was very amazing that the Holy Spirit used that word in Greek that not only means just a forerunner that paves the way and gets you, makes you able for you to get somewhere, but that anchor of hope. And so I want to encourage you. I want to ask you this, and it should be on the screen. What is God saying to you? What is he saying to you? Because whatever he's saying to you, I want to encourage you. Your answer needs to be yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Whatever he is challenging you to do, whatever he is encouraging you to do, whatever he is calling you to do to grow closer and closer and closer to him, whatever he might want you to get out of your life that's causing problems in your life that's not in his will, you need to say yes to Jesus. And when you do, you're going to get closer and closer and closer to the destiny that God had in mind when he created you. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads? Close your eyes. I want to ask you a question. We're going to offer opportunity. You know what? Hearing the word, listening to the word is wonderful, but responding to the word is incredibly important. If you're here this morning, if the Lord is speaking to you about something in your life that he is encouraging or challenging you to do, to get closer, to keep connected to the anchor of hope, is there anybody in here that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about something in your life and you want to say yes? Anybody in here, if the Lord is dealing with you, speaking to you, raise your hand. Be honest. Raise your hand. I want to encourage you. They're playing some music here, but we want to give you an opportunity to come forward. Let's stand together. It would be a wonderful thing if you need to come forward, pray at the altar. If you need to come forward, and I will pray over all of us after you come up. But I just want to encourage you. There's no reason to not respond to the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you. Respond and be willing to say yes. Be willing to say yes. And it's always a wonderful thing when we come up to an altar and we pray about a word we've just heard from God's Word. Amen. If you want to come up for prayer, come on up, and I'll be praying for you while we're coming. Okay? Go ahead and step out if it's you. Come on up. That doesn't mean that you're not saved. It doesn't mean that you're terrible. It just means that you're willing to say yes to Jesus about anything. Father, I thank you and I praise you. Lord, I thank you so much for your word, which is absolutely packed with treasures of truth. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that every single one of us today would be having an open heart, an open spirit, an open mind, focused on you and focused on your word. And I pray that you would, Lord, share with every one of us individually what you want to say and the seed you want to plant about how we should respond, how we can apply, how we can act upon the Word of God that you have planted in our hearts this morning. We are so grateful to you that Jesus is our forerunner, that Jesus went where we could never go, that Jesus went through the curtain into the very presence of God and dropped the anchor of our hope in Christ. Help us, I pray, to always stay connected with you, Jesus. Always stay connected with our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. And also, it's healthy if we all stay connected to our family of believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ in this church. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Lord, thank you. Let your kingdom come into full manifestation. But help us understand that, Lord, if we want your will to be done in our lives, we need to give you full cooperation. And so, Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. Lord, we confess any sin in our life. We confess anything that needs to be gone. And Lord, we say yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Yes to Lord. Yes to our Heavenly Father. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would spark personal revival in all of us. Lord, draw us closer to you as we are connected to the anchor of hope in Christ. Help us, I pray. We can pull towards it, but you will also pull us towards it. And God, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. And for those of you that are not necessarily up here at the altar time right now, I do want to encourage you to do this. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And if there's somebody around you that you would like to just go up to and put your hand on their shoulder and pray for them and pray an encouraging prayer for them, if you'd like to do that, there is a wonderful thing to be in the family of God because we can pray for each other. We can encourage each other. We can love each other. And so if there's anybody that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you to, you can go and put your hand on them and just ask God to totally draw them closer than they've ever been so that they'll be super connected to the anchor of hope in Jesus Christ. Father, we worship you. Lord, we glorify you. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for these wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, that we'll just be absolutely more in love with you than we've ever been. I pray that we'll be more focused on you than we've ever been, more committed than we've ever been, and more joyful and with faith and expectation than we have ever been. And Lord, I pray that you would not only give personal revival to all the wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ in this church, but I pray that you would use this church to reach many, many, many masses of people in this entire region and get so many people close to Christ and saved so that they will be ready and prepared when Jesus comes to rapture his church. Lord, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this house, Lord. We thank you for the anchor of hope, God. We thank you that you aren't just our forerunner, but, Lord, that you're our pilot that guides us through the storms, that pulls us through that, Lord, that directs us to the end, Lord, that keeps us in line with our destiny, God. And, Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. If I could get the ushers to come, we're going to receive an offering for Brother Greg and his ministry. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the word that you shared today, God, through your servant. And Lord, I just pray that you just, that through these next couple of services, God, I pray that people's lives continue to be changed by your hope, God. Lord, I pray that you bless the gift and the giver today. In your name we pray. Amen. Don't forget about the revival. Be here tonight and tomorrow night. Plan to be here. Share about the egg hunt. And I just want to thank everyone that came out and helped and supported Kathy yesterday with the bean supper and the dessert auction. They were able to raise quite a bit of money, and I know that they're very appreciative of that. There were a lot of beans left over. So Bev has told me to tell you that if you want some beans, to go back to the back and they're going to bag you some up, right? Is that what you, whatever? Somehow, you get some beans and you take them home with you, yeah? So go back there and get you some beans, and then you can have lunch and dinner and dessert later and all that stuff, so. Lord, we just thank you for these people. We just thank you for what you're doing in our house. And Lord, we just pray that you just continue to move in this place and bring us back here safely. In your name we pray. Amen.